Apple Skeeman.
I am John Von Bobsled.
And I'm Nick American.
Hey.
What's up?
Look who it is.
It's me.
Looky what we have here.
Looky, looky, who got the hooky cookie.
Hooky cookie.
Listeners, if you could confirm for me that the phrase, looky, looky, who's got the cookie, is indeed uttered by Vanilla Ice in the film Cool as Ice. And if you could provide evidence of this.
If you are Vanilla
Ice. That would be great.
That would be ideal.
Otherwise, I'm just going to stew on it over the next little while. You guys can talk this episode. I'm just going to be thinking about Vanilla Ice.
We are here in the Prefatorium.
Yeah. Host of Show Matters and Comments, of which we only have one.
Show Matter.
No.
But we have hundreds of comments.
No, we only have one of those two topics of discussion. Unless you guys have a show matter.
Which one?
We have some comments.
Okay.
I'm not aware of any show matters.
Let's go straight to the comments.
Yeah. Straight to the comments.
Don't trip.
We start our comments, as we often do, thankfully, with some input from Mike Westfall.
Mike Westfall.
Yeah.
In response to the percolator discussion last week about Super Mario Odyssey, Mike says, I regretted making the choice in Zelda to complete as much as possible before getting to Ganon. I won't be making the same decision with Super Mario Odyssey.
Because Ganon's not in it.
One move I can't quite get the hang of yet is throwing Cappy mid-jump and then diving onto it. I don't think it's on the official actions guide, but I've seen GIFs of it.
I have too, and I haven't figured it out. But I've still only played like an hour total of the game, so.
Also, headphones in one ear is the daddest dad move.
Nice.
So, salute to dads everywhere, especially those listening to this episode. We also got a comment on the percolator from John. John says, Drew asking Nick, you worked on Planet Hulk? And the subsequent discussion is among my favorite archive moments of 2017, as well as 2011 to 2016.
I see what you did there.
Thank you, John. John also left a comment on our last episode on crowdfunding. He says, most of my participation in crowdfunding has been targeted at realizing a film or music project by someone with little experience in the respective media. I don't think a single one of these efforts has progressed without at least a significant delay in the release of the given product. Mm. Despite these various setbacks, only one instance has ultimately disappointed me. A book of 1980s photos of American shopping malls that was so poorly produced, I felt the need to sell it online in an attempt to make up for my investment.
Wow.
That sounds great, though.
Oh, yeah. The photos are amazing.
Hello? That was weird.
What are you doing over there?
I don't know.
Yeah, the photos are great. They kind of floated around online. Somebody just, I guess, he did this as like a college student in the 80s and eventually got them scanned and digitized and put them online as like a BuzzFeed type thing. It wasn't BuzzFeed, but it was something like that. And so they kind of made the rounds and everybody said, you know, this is great. You should do a book. And so he eventually did do a Kickstarter to put them into book format. And like it was just a really asinine layout. Like they would have them spread across two pages, but like in such a way that there was no gutter.
Right.
So that like you were losing like the entire middle third of the image to the crease or whatever.
The spine.
The spine, yeah. So it sucked, unfortunately. But the photos are great. I'll put a link in the show notes to the photos themselves so you can see them. My best experience with crowdfunding thus far resulted from my support of an independent documentary film on the history and culture of Airstream trailers and the people who obsess over them, which ultimately led to a direct one-on-one dialogue with the director, who, it turns out, is a St. Louis native.
Who is that?
You know, I don't actually know his name.
Because I heard somebody on a podcast recently who put out a book. He's like a columnist or something, but he put out a book on Airstream trailers, and I cannot think of who it was. Oh, he was on I was there too, and he was like a child star in, I want to say, Close Encounters, maybe?
Huh.
Okay.
So
of the third kind?
This is not the same guy. It's a different book.
I don't... This is a documentary.
Yeah. I'm sorry. Yeah.
Let me see if I can find find out who he is.
While you're doing that, when you were talking about the book of photos of 80 shopping malls, and related to last week with the Kickstarter, one of my former coworkers with Drew put out a book called 50 Sad Chairs. Have you heard about that?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Bill Kagi?
Bill Kagi, yeah. Who came up last week because he...
Yeah.
Yeah. This guy is amazing, but the fact that he had, I think, a Flickr poll where he had just a bunch of pictures, and two different times he just had a bunch of photo sets, and somebody approached him and like, hey, you want to make a book of this? And he's like, sure. And he ended up going on Jimmy Kimmel for...
Really?
Wow.
I think it was that one. I can't remember what the other book is right now, but... That's crazy.
That is, yeah. He's one of those guys. But yeah, he's got quite a diverse background.
Yeah, and he has a million hobbies that he like dabbles in, and they, you know, eventually become something
significant.
Lucrative.
Yeah,
yeah.
I gotta do that.
You should paint these little mice or rabbits or something.
Yeah, yeah. Eric Bricker is the guy, and the film is called Illumination.
Okay.
Yeah, I'll put a link to the Kickstarter for that in the show notes for this episode. That's it for comments.
All right.
See you on the luge.
Yeah, let's all stand for the rising of the colors.
Jeez, Adam.
God, this guy.
What'd I do?
What are we doing out here?
What are we doing out here? We're going to be talking about the Winter Olympics.
Why? There's been...
Why?
You didn't question murders, but you're questioning the Winter Olympics. Yeah, I guess we
talk about murders forever, but what can be said about the Winter Olympics?
Oh, I have all kinds of stuff to talk about it.
Oh, good.
Yeah. Yeah, I guess we are kind of bucking tradition to a certain extent, because I think, if I'm not mistaken, this is... maybe the official first sports episode ever of the archive.
We did obscure sports.
Besides obscure sports,
we also did extreme sports.
Besides extreme sports, out.
So this is okay. So besides extreme and obscure, this is the first sporty sport episode.
You're fired.
That
Nick, what do you want to talk about tonight?
Basketball.
Bowling? Is that right? We already did the bowling episode? So let me get your guys' feel for this to see how we're litmus of the room. What are your feelings or knowledge on the Winter Olympics?
I have I've never been somebody who's like followed the Olympics, so I really don't have a lot to say about it. Thank you, good night. Kelly.
Good night, Kelly.
I try to remain indifferent, but I always end up hating the Olympics.
Oh, go on.
Well,
what a very dedicated answer.
I grew up indifferent to them, but
to both summer and winter, or just winter?
Yeah, okay. Yeah, like just never paid any attention to
them. Were you raised indifferent? Like, did your parents try to make sure that you did not care either way?
I think it was just an indifferent household.
Okay.
You know, like my dad has always been a hockey and baseball fan, but for whatever reason, I don't recall the Olympic hockey factoring into that. He was just an NHL guy. And my mother never seemed interested in the Olympics until later in her life, where like within like the last 15 years, she's suddenly become very dedicated to watching both the Winter and Summer Olympics.
Oh, I thought she was like trying out for them.
Yeah. Well, her shot put skills are impeccable, but she hasn't quite made it yet. But I feel like at least my exposure has broadened over time. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, starting from an indifferent point and then like slowly either because of the people that I'm hanging out with being invested in the Olympics or because there's just greater cultural recognition of them here. I don't know. But anyway, the Olympics became more apparent to me in the last like 20 years. And in that time, they've like really started to grate me. and I think part of it has to do with the idea of paying attention to sports in general for any reason other than like passing amusement or, Schadenfreude. Mm-hmm. Is that how you pronounce that?
Schadenfreude.
Mm. But also because I kind of hate pride or nationalism in any form. And so the Olympics is basically just like this artificial pride writ large.
Do you hate pride and nationalism just because you hate people enjoying something? Or is it something about
something deeper?
I hate demonstrations of group identity.
Like the archive?
In any form, yeah.
Fair enough.
Yeah, so like the part that really bothers me is the opening procession of either one.
The countries?
Yeah, right. Where, you know, people don these costumes and they march out to some really tasteless interpretation of some national theme or mm-hmm. music or whatever. Mm-hmm. I like the idea of national unity or international unity, I guess. But I don't think that it translates. I don't think that what I see in the Olympics translates to that.
Okay.
Which is why I say it's artificial. Mm-hmm. Or I guess superficial. Maybe.
So if you just are listening to us for the first time and you're like, hey, I want to learn more about this thing that I love. Too bad. No, Adam, how do you feel about the Olympics?
When growing up, was very excited about the Olympics. Just kind of the fervor behind it was hook, line, and sinker. I enjoyed the hell out of it. Then probably in my 20s, I, much like our friend John, became kind of indifferent to it. I was like, whatever, sports ball, you know, they do the things. Mm-hmm. And then Kelly is big on the Olympics, and so she's kind of brought me back into the fold of enjoying them. Damn, I can't tell them cutting in and out.
Yeah, you do a little bit.
Brought me back into the fold of enjoying them again. Now,
hi, Kelly.
Good night, Kelly.
I already wished her good night.
Oh, yeah.
That's right.
Welcome back.
Good morning, Kelly. It's, you know, she gets really into the spectacle of it and the grandeur. I, ironically enough, probably am more interested in the Summer Olympics than I am. Test. The Summer Olympics more than I am the Winter. Are you hearing me cut out or not?
Yeah.
Is it? Okay. I just want to make sure.
I wasn't sure
totally
if it was
losing my mind
just
here.
You or if it was.
Right. I think it's just you.
Okay.
Yes.
I did it. I win. But.
You are more invested in the Summer Olympics?
I'd say so. But with the caveat that pretty much if it's on and I like walking through the room, inevitably I'll get sucked in and start watching it.
The Summer Olympics or
any Olympics. Yes.
Okay. Any game?
Well,
hey, I have a new segment. I should have come up with a name for it, but it's something like elimination. But this came to me because, you know, this lends itself to another list episode, which, you know, is the bane of my existence.
Right.
So I thought,
and you're so good at them.
Yeah. So elimination, maybe?
Elimination.
All right. So I want to go round the table.
Round robin?
Round robin, saying Winter Olympics events.
Oh.
Okay.
If you can't think of one, you're out.
All right.
Let's start with John.
Bobsled.
Skeleton. Yeah, you think I'll start with an easy one? No, I'm getting the hard ones out of the way real fast.
Skiing, downhill skiing.
There you go.
Figure skating.
Hockey.
Freestyle snowboarding.
Gymnastics on ice.
Oh, and I should say, there is a prize.
Oh.
The winner, and I'll let you go again. I'm the judge here, so think about it. The winner will win this snow shovel.
Oh, nice. Nice. We got to picture that in the show notes.
Yeah. John, can you think? Take a moment.
I already got two more lined up, so whenever you're ready.
What's it called when they throw the thing on the ice?
Curling.
Curling. Why did you do that?
I'm a nice guy.
You are nice. Yes. Too nice.
A little too nice.
You?
Figure skating.
I said that.
Did you?
Yeah.
Yeah, he did.
All right. Singles or doubles? Oh, look at that.
Both. Oh. I think you just got the second one. Now it goes to me. Archery.
Nope.
I'm out.
You're the winner of the snow shovel.
I won my own snow shovel.
John, you got anything?
No.
No.
Are we talking about current or any?
Let's you got any more current?
I don't know if I have any more current. Again, there's like slalom and there's like different.
Slalom.
Slalom, I was always saying. So there's a lot of the different.
Amazing Nintendo game.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was.
There have been other ones.
But they used to have this thing where you'd ski down while you had a rifle.
Wait.
And you'd rifle while you.
Congratulations,
skied.
Adam.
Yes.
You rifle while you ski?
Yeah, yeah.
Oh my God. That's like the James Bond Olympic event.
Wait, that was actually a thing? Or it still is a thing. No, I think that was everybody.
Oh, yeah, it definitely was a thing where there was like targets down the thing.
Why would they take that out?
I don't know.
Huh.
Yeah.
And why targets? Why not people?
Wait, and what was this called?
I can't remember what it was called.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Well, we'll put it in the show.
It might have been called like downhill rifling or something. Like really like, oh yeah, I guess it makes sense. That, you know.
They're like, bonding. This isn't boring enough for the Olympics.
There's also it's not cross country, but basically it's like cross country skiing. Essentially, there's like a race. I don't think they do that anymore. But it's an older one that was timed.
Do they do weightlifting?
No.
They do it with ice blocks. Now, you came right out of the gate with skeleton. I looked up a list before I came.
Uh-oh.
The only research I did for this episode, I'm very not prepared, but. John, do you know what skeleton is?
I don't.
What do you think it is?
Everybody grabs somebody else's limb and you just pull as hard as you can.
like a wishbone?
It's like Twister. It's like Twister and Drawn Quartering.
If you pull the entire skeleton out, you win.
Yeah.
Do you know what it is, Adam?
It's basically like singles sledding, essentially, right?
Why is it called skeleton?
I don't know.
Hmm. Single sledding? Like Rosebud?
Kind sledding? Of, but I think it may... I mean, yeah, it's like bobsled, but for one person.
Okay.
And it's skeleton. But you're doing it feet first, and you're like... Chirrum.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
People die?
You're in that like Hopefully. Water slide pose?
Yeah, exactly. Okay. All right. Did you have something else, Nick?
No.
Okay. In that case, let's jump into the history of winter. I got one.
Yes. Yeah. That was good.
Thanks.
Good delivery.
Okay. And the only reason why I have my phone up is because I want to make sure I got the years right. Because you know they do it every 4 years.
Right.
So I just want to make sure my timeline is at least.
And the next one is... 2018. Is that this coming? Is that going to be in January?
Or yeah, they I think do it? So, right?
February 9th through 25th.
Okay. So this is somewhat...
Test.
on time. Oh, yeah. Just a little early.
Yeah.
What?
What's happening over there?
I don't know. I keep cutting in and out really badly. Test, test, test. All right. We'll see if that cuts me out or not.
All right.
Yeah, it was pretty tight. Okay. So in order to get the history of the Whimper. I'm off to a stunning start.
I would watch the hell out of those games.
Oh, Mouth, come on. You can do this. You have to go back to turn of the century, between the going the 1800s to the 1900s, okay?
Okay. We're going back there now?
Yes, we're going back there now.
Okay. We're going to totally intersect with our other time-traveling selves, you know?
Oh, where are those guys? Yeah. Maybe Nick murdered them. Anywho. So you're back in early 1900s. Yeah.
And, I like it here.
Yeah, it's nice. We're in Europe.
I like it here.
Yes. And the bourgeois of the English class is all about... Yes, exactly. Is all about... mountain climbing, essentially.
Eating cheese.
Those are the Austrians and Germans. But yeah, mountain climbing and kind of just outdoor sports. The Alps are very big. Like people are, they're starting to get mountain climbing.
They are very big.
Mountain climbing is getting more and more of a thing. And like people are climbing like the Matterhorn and becoming famous of this stuff. And then when they're up on top of these things, they start thinking, all right, what's a cool way to get down? And they literally start... Oh, do sledding down or skiing down.
Or skeleton.
Wait a minute. I thought Goofy invented
sports skiing. Sports Goofy invented every sport.
Yeah. Thank you.
Yeah. This is notwithstanding any of that.
All right.
So the English are doing all that stuff. Then you have the Norwegian people who I think actually the word ski
are Norwegian?
Yes. The word ski is actually, I think, Norwegian.
That sounds right.
Oh,
yeah.
Okay.
And so they've been doing winter stuff for a hot minute, and they're very...
Cold minute.
Thank you. They're very proud of what they've been doing over there, okay? So every country...
You know I hate pride.
Yeah. Why do you have to bring up pride?
Well, there's going to be a lot of that in this, so just get ready. So in 1924... Six. I know where you're going with that, but just bear with me here. So the countries would have their own individual like winter sports things. Like England would have their own, and France would have their own. No one really. There wasn't an international sort of thing happening. It was just kind of.
Would Spain have their own?
Probably. Jamaica had their own. They had a bobsled team. A little bit later, though. And in 1926. 1924 is what you were referring to in France. They officially had a bunch of European countries all get together and do basically like a winter event thing. And
Winterpalooza,
sure. Winter sports palooza. And then in 1926, the Norwegian people were still kind of doing their own thing. But that kind of went by the wayside because then they retroactively made 1924 actually the first official Winter Olympics after the fact.
Oh, okay.
So what's Greece doing during this time? They totally invented the Olympics.
Right.
Are they like, hey, why are you guys stealing our shit? Yeah.
I don't think they cared, I guess.
See, that's where they went wrong. That's why their economy is in the toilet.
Right.
They should have put that
copyright on
yeah. it right then and there. That was mm-hmm. their chance.
One of the main, I'm going to get the guy's name wrong. Damn it, I know I am. But one of the main...
Smith.
Guys, no, it's like Dunn or something like that. Like D-U-N-N.
Smith and Dunn.
Smith and Dunn and Weston. one of the main English guys who was big into skiing and whatnot was helping set this whole thing up, Winter Olympics as it got started. So...
This is in 26?
The reason I brought up 26 is because Norwegians were still kind of doing their own thing. But then once they actually made 24 the first official, then that was the last Norwegian.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Just to kind of paint a picture of what's going on here. So then we get to 1928, right?
if I'm a Norwegian in 1928, I'm very skeptical about this whole Winter Olympics thing, unified Olympics.
Right. Yeah. So this Dunn guy is, you know, getting a lot of countries together, and they're doing this, they start doing the little parade thing, and everyone's, it's the whole, basically what will become of it
is starting to
everyone else is yelling too. So you blend right in,
but you're angry.
Mm-hmm. I'm also throwing things.
You'll like this.
Why did I even come here?
You'll like this Dunn guy in you're really going to like this guy. He's, you guys are peas in a pod, and you'll understand why in just a little bit. Assuming this guy's, that's even his real name, which probably isn't, but yeah. We're going to call him Dunn for the sake of this conversation. Arthur Dunn. DDS. So the next Winter Olympics happened, and now it's getting a little more international thing. Well, the United States is like, hey, we want to get involved in this. We like winter stuff. Mm-hmm. So the second one was in Switzerland, and the third was actually in the States.
Which states?
United. Los Estados Unidos.
I've been there.
So that was in 32, right?
Okay.
Everything's going really well. And then 36 rolls around, and we're like, hey, let's do the next Winter Olympics.
Adam keeps checking his phone, and I would like to believe there's a note section that just has 1924, 1928, 1932, and there's no actual notes, just the numbers.
I just need to make sure I got the years right. Yeah. Damn it, I may forget what year we're on. 36. So can anyone here tell me what was happening in Europe in 1936?
That was a good time for Europe. They were putting on some good records.
Right.
Everyone was happy and unified.
I'll give you another hint. The 1936 Olympics were held in Germany.
Yeah, yeah. That was a popular country.
Among Germans.
It was a popular country among Germans.
So this is
fascinating.
Right in between World War I and World War II and the rise of Hitler.
Right. I need to back up for 2 seconds. One of the big things about the first Olympics official and then the second is that England came in and just decimated everybody. And it was, part of it was like, this is the height of the British Empire. And it was a big, like, look how awesome England is. Look how awesome the British Empire is. Everyone else.
Even though they were only up against France.
No. It was held in France. but it was a very big, like, sort of political thing that was kind of, the precedent was set at that point. It was like politics and the Winter Olympics were going to go hand in hand.
Another reason why I hate the Olympics.
And this Dunn guy, as he was setting it up, was lamenting about this. Like, he saw what had happened, and he's like, this is not why I put this together. Like, this should just be about people getting together and doing sports, mm-hmm. and that's it. So 1936, Germany.
Great time, great place.
Right. So the Nazi Party is doing its thing. It's not quite the Nazi Party that we will know from history. It's still kind of just...
Did you know they didn't call themselves Nazis?
Yeah, they were National Socialists.
Yeah, I knew that, but I thought that Nazi was like a term that they used shorthand. But I learned the other day that it's actually a
like a slur?
It's a slur, yeah. So like, nice. They there's like a term that they would use for yokel, okay? Mm-hmm. For Bulgarian like countrymen. Mm-hmm. And in Germany they would call them Nazis. And so when they started rising to power, we used that against them and started calling them Nazis. I thought that was interesting.
Very cool.
That is cool.
So there's video, there's film of the 1936 Olympics, and it's just to really paint the picture of how things were. Like, during the parade of countries, like, England was giving the Nazi salute to Hitler because it was, as in, like, just like, hey, this is what you guys do here, right?
As a sign of respect.
Yes, as a sign of respect.
Jesus, and it is, threw up in my mouth.
It is there's video of this, and it's crazy to see these English guys film. With the English film, thank you, with the British flag doing the Hitler salute to Hitler.
All the more reason you should never do a Winter Olympics.
to Hitler.
While we're traveling and, through time, can we go back to 1924 and stop this nonsense?
And you should also never respect another culture's customs and just...
Right.
Yeah. Just in case they rise to power and try to take over the world, then you're going to look like an asshole in...
Yeah, completely.
100 years.
So... You know, Germany's got a big spotlight on it at this point, leading up to the Olympics because of obvious reasons. And the town where the headquarters was going to be was literally every sign, every doorway, every building had Jews not welcome signs placed, plastered everywhere. So the IOC... International Olympic Committee, yes. IOC shows up and they're like, hey, guys, that's not going to fly. So what are we going to do about that? And basically the Nazis told, I don't know if they told Hitler or told somebody else high up that said, look, we got to make sure these games go off without a hitch. Again, making this big show of Germany being this awesome place and, you know, power and et cetera, et cetera. So the Nazis were like, okay, we'll go ahead and take the signs down, which they did. And the reason why that's important is because that's actually one of the last times the Nazis actually were ever kind of compromised on anything before they really took the power and et cetera, et cetera. So took all the anti-Jews stuff down and they had the games there and the Germans decimated everybody. No pun intended. They won like almost,
you've got those signs, don't you?
God, no. They won like 7 gold, 5 silver, and like 8 bronze. I mean, they just totally mopped up.
Do you think that they cheated?
I don't know if they cheated, but,
so you're defending the Nazis.
Did they hack the election? So
so 1940, no Winter Olympics. People were busy doing other stuff.
Mm-hmm.
A little thing called World War
Summer Olympics.
It was a different show of unity.
Right. Little World War II happening right there. Yeah. So nothing happening there. Then 44, we are, 40 and 44, no Olympics.
That makes sense.
Yeah.
Good.
So 48 rolls around. War's over. We're like, okay, where's a good neutral place we can have this Winter Olympics?
Poland.
Close. Neutral, think.
Switzerland.
That's the one.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, so they have the Winter Olympics in Switzerland. Germany, Italy, and Japan are not allowed to come.
That seems fair.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So then they had that. See, that was, these years, I knew it. 48. So 52 rolls around, and... Now you have the Russians have been watching this whole thing, the Soviets, the communists.
And they haven't been participants in any.
No, they've been.
Oh, they have.
Oh, yeah. Okay. But just in the same sense that they were just another country there.
Right.
Nothing going on. But now Stalin's looking
Rasputin
at.
Rasputin was amazing. Stalin, by the way.
So the Russians are watching this kind of ebb and flow of power. And again, this Dunn guy is still like, this is just about sports. Like everyone, and he's getting older now, but he's like,
you keep telling yourself that, Dunn.
Right. So, you know, 52 happens and the Iron Curtain falls and it's a metaphor, mm-hmm. not literal. There was no actual Iron Curtain. Nick, you look confused there for a second.
Was it on the ice? Cause that could be a problem.
Right. So we're in Norway, actually, in 52 for the Olympics. And the Soviets are watching and they decide, I think Stalin decides or whomever decides, okay, basically whoever wins the Winter Olympics is the most powerful country on the planet.
Stalin decides that?
What do you
that?
Mean he decides that?
It's as in, good Lord, as in, if you kind of look at the history of it, he's like, you know, when England won, they were the most powerful. Okay. When Germany won, they were the most powerful. Okay. So in order for us to become the most powerful, or at least perceived to be the most powerful, we've got to win the Olympics.
Is he telling this to his people or to everybody?
Okay. His people.
I see. Okay.
Yes. So the Soviets show up in 52 and just mop up. And I'm sure you can, you've from pop culture, I mean, from that point on, pretty much through modern times, the Soviets / Russians just routinely were the best at everything.
Because they're doping.
They are because doping.
They're doping on all that sweet, sweet vodka.
They've been cheating at international relations in every form for a good 60 years.
Right. Yeah, so they show up to 52 and just do really, really well. 56 is in Italy. I think in 52 actually is when Germany, Italy, and Japan were allowed to come back. You know, it was held in Italy in 56. So in 60 rolls around. And now basically capitalism has gotten their fingers on the Winter Olympics also. So now, because before this, it was just kind of like something you'd watch. But now with television and everything going, now you can go buy the same clothes that the skiers wear, and it's all about winter clothing, and this whole big movement happens of like
it
winter
becomes commercialized.
It comes commercialized, and Dunn is losing his freaking mind.
Yeah, he is.
Again, he's really getting up in age now, and he's getting so pissed off about this.
He's like, the Olympics are done.
Shut up. So in 1960, we're back in the States.
We choose to go to Dunn and do the other things.
Not because they are easy.
Well, because they are hard.
Beatles are on the radio. Every American has a Chevy in their driveway. And the Winter Olympics are sweeping the nation.
Yeah, so the Winter Olympics are back in the States in 1960. And the commercialism is kind of hitting a fever pitch. Good Lord, mouth, come on. And there's this one particular Frenchman who was basically like a star. I mean, he was an amazing skier, and he actually started doing movies.
What was his name?
I don't know. Frenchman McFrenderson.
Le Don.
Later on, they find out it was a Dunn wearing a mustache.
And a what beret. A twist.
He would have gotten away with it, too. Those were the darn kids.
Those Dunn kids.
Those Dunn kids. So he makes a official statement, I think it was in 60, about in 64, where...
I'm old.
Where the Olympics are not to be commercialized. They're not to be for professional athletes. It's just for Olympians.
And
that's it.
Ever since, it's been that way. The end.
Thank God he said that. Thank God he set us straight.
Right. Going so far that I think it was in 68,
the Winter Olympics. Lord.
There was I want to say...
He made another public statement. Get off my lawn.
No, there was some other high, really, really talented... athlete who
Muhammad Ali.
No, it's Winter Olympics. Think winter. You're getting keeps drifting back over summer. This is just
ice
winter.
Boxing.
There you go. He banned this guy from the Olympics because he was a professional who did like commercials and stuff like that. And so he said, you know what? I'm done. This is not happening anymore. Like you're out.
Huh.
Not allowed to come.
Where's the line of professional? Like, is it that you're making a living off of it, or that you're making, because like, is there such a thing as a professional curler?
Probably.
But there are Olympic sports that you
right.
don't, you,
I see what you're saying.
You can become a trainer and you can, you know, focus on that or something. But
no, I think actually curling is probably a really good example, because it's, I say probably, but in the sense that they are professional, as in they do it during the Olympics. Like they probably don't 9 to 5.
Yeah. They're
curling.
No.
So, and that's exactly what he was talking about. He's like, if you are an Olympic athlete and you do this for the Olympics, that is fine. If you are a professional hockey player and then you come to the Olympics, that is not cool, because this is not for professional athletes. Mm-hmm. This is for Olympians.
But so what is his like capacity at this point, Dunn? He's just a spokesperson for ideology, right? Like he doesn't have any.
He on the committee?
Yeah, he's still in the IOC.
Oh, okay.
And he's, again...
He holds one of the rings? Yeah. That's how that works, right?
Yeah, yeah. The ring of power.
Five people on the Odyssey.
And I'll form the head. Heart.
Yes. Oh my God. Somebody should make this cartoon of the IOC and then get sued by them.
Right. People are still, they revere this guy because he was basically the guy who invented, you know, or at least, you know.
Greeks here. I'd like to have a word with you.
Winter Olympics.
Winter.
Yeah.
Wait, specifically Winter Olympics? No.
What?
He didn't invent the Winter Olympics. He invented the Olympics.
No, Winter Olympics.
Winter specifically.
Yeah.
So, for example, he had no problem with America crushing everyone in basketball. It was just like, he was like, no, keep the professionals out of.
No, I don't think he had any sort of sway in the Summer Olympics. It's just okay. the thing that he created or helped create.
This committee, it governs both the summer and the winter?
I believe so.
Okay.
But he's, you know, again, especially at this age, he was probably in his 70s or 80s at this point.
Right.
It's just people very much respected him, and they took what, and they, obviously he had power because he kicked that guy out. He wouldn't let him.
He's compete. Like a ring holder emeritus. At this point.
There you go. That's a good way to put it.
Okay.
Creepers, if you've got corrections, put them in the show notes.
Exactly. So then at some point, Dunn dies. Dunn's done. And basically the commercialism and capitalism of the Olympics then had no, there was no one fighting it, and it exploded into the behemoth that it is today.
Man.
Yeah.
I want to see the story about like Dunn's kids deciding not to follow in their father's footsteps and
yeah,
find out what they did instead.
Right.
Because
made a lot
you
of money.
Jerks. Yeah. you lost it for all of us now. Way to go.
For all of us, or at least John. All of the John,
yeah,
dedicated, not happy.
Very bitter.
Yeah, so there you go. There's a brief history of the Winter Olympics.
So, do you have a favorite Olympic event?
Oh, I was like favorite.
I like 72 personally.
I was like, no, vague question. I do enjoy bobsled a lot. I enjoy skeleton a lot. I enjoy hockey when the U.S. is winning. We grew up in, you know, the Miracle on Ice and all that kind of stuff. So, I mean, that was also, you know, when the U.S. beat Russia.
That was the Olympics, right?
Oh, yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
I saw that movie, but I can't remember it.
It was basically, you know, we did.
Okay. Was Kurt Russell in that?
Yeah. I think so.
Yeah, either that or.
He was in some ice.
Ed Begley Jr. Right.
Ed Begley Jr. Good night, Ed. but I mean, that's the culmination of 30 years of the Russians just dominating at the Winter Olympics, going into that one being like, well, they're going to win this thing again. And then the U.S. upset them. And it was huge, especially with the Cold War at a fever pitch at that point.
Cold, fever, winter.
It was hot.
So Russia should be up there in the Winter Olympics because they have
because
they're constantly in winter.
Yeah. Right.
They have one of the larger populations. And
they're absolutely corrupt. So they can.
Oh, I'm so glad you said that. So early, I think it was in either 52 or 56, the Soviet teams, the coach had to write a letter personally, I think, to Stalin saying, my team will win at X sport or else they weren't allowed to go. They had basically had to have in writing to Stalin that whoever team he was coaching.
Oh, like a promise.
Wait, yes. That was for X sports?
I knew I shouldn't have said it. I was like, yeah.
So like skateboarding.
Right.
Yeah.
Half pipe.
Hula hooping.
Yeah. Hula hooping, sure. Hacky sacking, you know.
That thing where they throw fire. Fire.
They juggling. Throw fire?
Yeah.
Fire dancing you're talking about?
Sure.
Winter BMX is amazing.
They've got those big tires.
It's a slippery slope. That's my total train of thought. I can't remember. Oh, no, the letters. Yes. Yeah. So it was very interesting that, you know, to what extent I'm curious. So Stalin's getting these letters, and then he's, you know, I'm not sure how the judging panels worked back then, but, you know,
yeah,
he gets these letters saying like, we will win a blah, blah, blah sport. And then does he go to the judges and be like, by the way, my team will win at these sports? I mean, it's entirely possible.
Stalin, what are you doing here?
I came back in time.
Also forward.
To be on the archive.
Welcome, welcome.
John, do you have a most hated Olympic event?
Winter Olympics.
Yeah, it's more about my anger and rage is more about the peripheral elements of it. Mm-hmm. Like the actual sports are just kind of boring, but
yeah,
I mean, I think I like the skating, because they wear weird costumes, mm-hmm. and like the musical choices are always strange and interesting. Sure. And I like snowboarding and skiing. Like I like those sports. So if you could somehow disguise the fact that I was watching the Olympics, like if I just thought I was tuning in to like Sunday at the rink.
Disguise it to you or to other
to
people?
Me.
Do you just not want people seeing you watching the Olympics?
No, I don't want to know that I'm watching the Olympics. Okay. I don't want to be reminded constantly. I don't want like every commercial break to have like a little vignette about Igor Stravinsky.
So you appreciate the competition.
Yeah, absolutely.
But just all the hoopla
to a certain degree, yeah. You know, like I will watch people ski for 20 minutes or something.
Sure.
Yeah. But,
oh, what's that? The high jump or what's it called? Yeah.
See, yeah.
Another sport. That thing is crazy. Every time I watch insane. That, like watching those guys basically like fly essentially down that hill, that crazy angle.
Mm-hmm. Woo. I like the posture.
Right.
Like,
exactly.
Awesome.
There are a bunch of events that are hard to tell the athleticism, the quality of it. And I would put that in there where it's just like, I don't know what about what they're doing makes them go further.
Right.
You know?
Right.
Curling, which I actually think it's a big joke, but I think it's one of the more interesting ones, but still.
There actually is a St. Louis curling team that you can join.
Yeah.
Yeah. Hmm. There's like a club that does it around here. I don't know where,
let's
but
do it.
Show notes.
I mean, that's really funny because it actually,
we get them on as a sponsor.
It's a 4-man team.
Let's do it.
I mean, we actually could do the archive curling team.
Oh, man. We're in.
Well, we got to see if Drew will do it.
I was against tattoos. I'm totally down for curling.
Yeah. Fool me once.
But I will get an archive curling tattoo.
Perfect.
Whatever that big ass puck is with an H on it.
Yeah.
And the cool brooms. Here's another little amusing anecdote. I think it was at the very first one, and it might have been Dunn actually who was doing this. So they were doing that cross country skiing thing essentially, mm-hmm. and
which is never actually cross country.
No, I guess.
Mm. I mean, how did it even get that name?
No, this is like two poles and you're like running.
John's just like, upset because they do not go from one end of the country to
the other. Yeah.
I get you. Okay. Mm-hmm. Whatever.
Yeah.
Inter-country skiing.
Cross-territorial.
Skiing.
Skiing. Yeah.
So they say, you know, when Marcus said go and they go, and I think it was Dunn actually who did this. So he does the course and he completes it in about 45 minutes and he gets to the finish line. And there's no one there. Like, there's no judges. There's barely any crowd. And he's like, what's going on here? And so he goes to the, basically.
Stalin killed them all.
this is 24. I don't think Stalin was born yet. He's like 5 years old. He goes to the nearest pub, and he finds all the judges in there drinking. And he's like,
hey, guys.
And they're like, oh, we didn't think we'd be done this fast.
Wow. this is my kind of Olympics, right?
Yeah, and so he's like, "Well, totally I did. I'm finished. So you need to get back there, and you know, all the people are coming. So you need to get on this." Awesome. And they were all drunk at the bar because they thought they have another 2 hours easily before anyone would show up. And he did the whole thing in 45 minutes. There you go.
This show is really about Albus Dunn.
Right. Albus Dunnoldor.
Guy, we knew that we were going to be talking about him this long at the beginning. We could have looked his name up.
Yeah, it's actually so funny. I was like, I should look at his name real quick.
Hey, John, can you go back and edit his name?
Every time I say Dunn.
Just get one take just of say it once, Adam saying and then... it and put it in for all of us.
Oh, man.
So this year is going to be the 23rd Winter Olympics.
Where is it taking place this year?
In South Korea.
Oh, okay. Really? They have winter in South Korea?
Yep. Huh. And then
weird thing to say.
The next three are going to be in Asia.
Oh.
Yeah. And, you know, they're like well into production up on the area that they're doing.
Building up the buildings that will never be used again.
Well, here's an interesting thing is normally when the Olympics comes to town, everyone, you know, enlists a bunch of slave labor.
Wow.
Builds a bunch of shit that's not up to code. And then, you know, it's with this promise that it's going to bring all this commerce and they're going to keep using these things. Right. But they're not doing that. I mean, they're still doing the slave labor, but they're intentionally building it to take it down afterwards. Or at least parts of it, maybe not all of it. And so the past two Olympics have been train wrecks. Mm-hmm. in Sochi and where was the South America?
Rio? No, winter or summer?
Summer.
Yeah, Rio.
Was it Rio?
Yeah.
Yeah, it was Rio. Yeah. And there were a lot of controversy around them. The only big thing that's happening right now in South Korea is that there was not a lot of places to do the downhill skiing. So they had a mountain that had a protected forest on it.
I
don't like where this is
so
going.
So they took it off the protected forest list.
Oh, God. No.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh.
So.
Where is Dunn?
Where is
Dunn? We need him more now than ever.
Yeah, right. So, funny story. I was way off on his name.
Shocking.
You'll see maybe.
Well, it has a D and
there's a D
U.
In it, and there's a U in it. Actually, his last name was Brundage.
Brundage.
Okay.
So you see where my brain was going with that. Avery Brundage.
Mm. Oh, we got the A right on the.
Yeah. Albus Dunn. Actually, Avery Brundage. He was the president of the IOC from 52 to 72. The only American to actually hold that position. Mm-hmm. And so everything I said about him with the commercialism is accurate. He was definitely not the guy who won the thing back when.
But I made up all the other shit.
Right. No, but he was the one.
There actually are no Winter Olympics. This is a myth perpetrated by the hour guy.
As President, Brundage fought strongly for amateurism and against commercialization of the Olympic Games.
I still think that's a really, excuse me, a really strange concept of amateurism. Mm-hmm. Like, I guess I get that he wants anyone to be able to win.
So like he said, you know, like he said that people should join who are like students, soldiers, working in a profession, like just an everyday person who then is also very athletic and who could prove themselves, not someone who does this as their job.
Which I think would definitely make it more interesting if that were the case.
How I still say, like, where do you draw the line, you know?
Mm. Well, I think it is. If you get paid to do this for a living, then that qualifies as a profession.
What if you used to get paid for doing it, but then you quit your job?
Hmm.
What if the government is giving you food and housing and taking care of your family, but you're just training for this all day? You know?
Yeah.
And maybe it's because I grew up in a post-Dunn era. but I see the Olympics as just like, bring your best, you know? Uh-huh. So to draw that line of bring the best mediocre people you have seems really weird.
Well, so I have a quote from him, from Brundage. AKA Dunn.
Dunn.
he said that in amateur sports, the athlete, he stated, should compete for the love of the game itself without any thought of reward or payment of any kind, with professionals being part of the entertainment business. Amateurism to Brundage expressed the concept of the Renaissance man with abilities in many fields, yet a specialist in none.
See, that's what I want. I hate all this bullshit about, oh, all I can do is ski, all I can do is curl. They should have to do every single event.
I like that.
I like that, too. That's neat.
Double dare this shit up and bet you, run the obstacle course. Yeah.
I bet you early on, a lot of these people did probably almost all, if not all, of the events, I would think. Oh,
there you go.
I would think
that. The one thing I was going to say that was neat also about, I think, by the time the second Olympics rolled around, that it no longer was just for the upper class rich people, that now sporting could be for the everyman, which kind of the ideal is, the idealistic part of that kind of ties into what Brundage was all about.
Notion died with him.
Yeah. Well, I mean, like, it, you know, back in the, like, just after the Great Depression, World War One, like, people thought that you didn't have time to do sports, and that was a rich people thing. That's, you know, the richies got to go do that stuff.
Anybody who has a giant ice tube that runs down a mountain can participate. Yeah. what's your favorite Olympic movie? Ooh. Are there
have been a lot of
besides that Kurt Russell one?
Yeah, that's the only one.
Cool Runnings. Hello, guys.
I was that the Olympics? That next.
Oh my gosh!
Yeah, of course that's the Olympics.
Eddie the Eagle.
Yeah, that's
that was about had Hugh Jackman in it. At about I think there's a was he British possibly?
Yeah, it's the guy from. Kingsman is
right.
Eddie.
Yeah. It's, you know, based on a true story about this basically random nobody guy who wanted to be in the Olympics and,
I hate this already.
And,
but he's in that, high jump.
Yeah. His right, chosen sport is high jump.
We brought him back.
And
okay.
So, and so
now we're going to show him the trailer. You at home no decide
right.
whether or not he'll hate it.
Will
or
John not. Like it? Oh, you owe me $8, by the way.
I do. I'm going to get that out right now. Wait, you're a big winner tonight.
I am a big winner tonight. I did it.
Kelly, I got $8 and a second snow shovel. Clear the garage.
Right. We don't own a garage.
oh, it's going to be in your living room.
Let's build a garage. Oh, yeah, so this guy started doing it, and it was like, just wipe out. I mean, because he'd go off this big jump thing and just crash and burn over and over again. And eventually he, I think, was revolutionary into that new kind of style with the weird,
kind of the smooth criminal.
Yes,
pose.
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah, I think he was one of the ones that helped.
Him and Michael Jackson.
Yeah.
Yeah, why didn't he ever try out for the Olympics?
Seriously.
I guess because he was a professional, that's why.
Exactly.
He adhered to Dunn's rules.
Good old Dunn.
Oh, good.
Nice.
$8.
Transaction
eight
has been completed.
Get a picture of that for the show notes.
Yeah.
Better believe it.
Wait, fan it out so it looks like more.
Nice. What the hell is he saying? Oh, Eddie the Eagle. Yeah, and then eventually I think he either won or died or something. I don't know. But.
Did you
kinda
write that movie?
Kind of like Stalin, right?
I just envisioned at the end, like he takes that final jump and just flies off and just never
just
lands.
Keeps going. So, yes.
Like,
that would be an amazing
exactly.
ending. You should have written that movie. Yeah. I take
That's
it,
it
back.
Make it up to the viewer to decide. Did he die or did he win? Who knows?
Am I on acid? It's like the
directed
Greek,
by Terry Gilliam.
Yeah, Grease ending. That's what they call it in
exactly.
the film industry.
Oh, man. Also, the Chitty Chitty Bang Bang ending would also be accepted. Mm-hmm. Why don't we do a Chitty Chitty Bang Bang episode? There we go.
Yeah, it should be due for a retrospective.
100 years.
We're a little late on that.
Yeah. So I don't know how we're doing on time at all.
We're at a solid end point. If we want to wrap this up.
just play it at, you know, half speed.
I was
excited about the new Olympics, the ones in Seoul. Is that where it is?
No, it's in, it's not Pyongyang. That's in North Korea.
That would be impressive.
It's something similar to that.
Okay.
Help me out.
Yep. I'm working on it.
What? Maybe let me rephrase that question.
Pyeongchang.
Pyeongchang.
What is it about the Winter Olympics that you're looking forward to most?
It's going to be in Beijing the year after that, but in 2022, it's in Beijing. Mm.
And then Tokyo?
That doesn't say after that. Mm. I do enjoy some of the spectacle. I don't necessarily enjoy the Parade of Nations. I like watching, I like watching skeleton and bobsledding a lot. I do find that interesting and exciting, probably only because of Cool Runnings, but,
I'm looking forward to them integrating StarCraft into it.
Ooh, yeah, that'd be great.
South Korea wins.
Right. Again. Yeah. So I enjoy, again, I don't enjoy the capitalism of it and the kind of, I feel like
Dunn's disciple.
Dunn's dream.
Also Stalin's dream.
Right.
Communism.
Right. Would have been neat. Dunn's, not Stalin's.
Also Hitler.
Adam.
Stop it.
Adam, why would you say that on a live podcast? Live?
It's not live, and I didn't say it. So I'm okay, folks. That was not me. And this is recorded. I don't even know what I'm talking about anymore.
Thank you for bringing this up. I actually do. I feel like I have a much better appreciation for the Olympics now.
Yeah, that's.
I learned something here today.
Yeah, that was kind of my point. And going into this,
I don't like the Olympics.
Right. I wasn't expecting. I thought we'd just kind of talk about the sports and stuff like that. And when I started delving into the history, I was like, this is actually kind of fascinating.
Yeah.
Good stuff there.
And I'm doing my own off the top of my head from what I read and stuff not and stuff not
and stuff not.
And whatnot and stuffy and the Whippet games
and done
and done. So you too can actually read up on the Winter Olympics and find out where I got everything wrong. It's creepers. So
yeah, please give us your Winter Olympic anecdotes,
right?
Whether they're accurate or not.
In this show, it doesn't really matter.
Were you in the Winter Olympics? No. Well, make some shit up.
Is Eddie the Eagle alive? Anyone know? Where are you, buddy?
Let's go find it. All right, line up on this ramp. We're going to sail off into the night and see if we can find Eddie the Eagle.
All right. Let's put it in the archive. Hey, John, tell us next week on the archive, what are we talking about, buddy?
Parades.